as one grave robber was, who made a terrible mistake. I have collected here a series of tales where souls are trapped by words on page. This first is brought to us from the prophet Leo Siren.
The woods were thick.
And I was late finding the chapel. I wanted to be in and out before dark. Now, the sun was already low and red. Its bloody glow shone through the ruin by way of gaps in the stonework and rotted out shutters. Most prominent was a vast hole in the roof, where by the sunset silhouetted a figure waiting in the door. "Good tidings," called I. "Are you Fairgrave?" No answer. But who else would it have been? I approached, climbing ancient mossy steps, displaced by roots, and realized Fairgrave was a young woman.
Thought you'd be a man," I blurted, immediately regretting my bluntness. I quickly amended, "The innkeep made it seem so," referring to the fellow through which I hired this Fairgrave to guide me. "Makes no difference, so long as you know what's down there. When we're back to the inn, we'll settle your fee and divvy up the treasure." She spoke at last, "Only one thing I want down there. I get first pick, that's the deal. You don't want what I want," she sounded. She sounded so certain, so I didn't think it prudent to argue. Fairgrave's pale eyes and condescending grin unsettled me. I couldn't guess her age, but young enough, I thought, it would be unseemly to say anything flirtatious. Our relationship was to be professional, though the profession of robbing graves is perhaps not so bound by formality. "Innkeep," said, "I would know you by the very fine belt you wear," I told her. I see now he was being witty. She giggled. "What, don't you like it?" It was shabby and peculiar. A large bird skull strung on a length of hempen cord. "Interesting," I said, and did not ask if it were enchanted. I put little stock in witchery, but if I must, I'd rather not know. She led me through the ransacked chapel and into the vestibule at the back. A tall door with an arched frame led outside from there. There was something carved into the arch, and though it was well worn by time, I managed to read, "The tomb must have its keeper." "Just so," Fairgrave agreed. "Spooky, eh?" I've read spooky things before, still alive to tell of them all. "How lovely for you," she said. The door was nearly impossible to pass, for a tangle of untended oak branches and blackberry bushes beyond, but we pushed through the flora and came into what must have been a neat garden half a century ago. It was dark, for the canopy of overgrown trees made a better roof than the chapel had. Fairgrave passed a stone into a circular pit at the garden's center. The eventual splash was small and distant. "Well, well, well," she said, then grinning so long I had no choice but to fake a laugh. I took up the torch I brought and made light with it, with a bit of flint. Fairgrave flinched, snatched it away, and flung it into the void. It bounced off the side of the wall in a shower of sparks, plummeting like a doomed star, and vanished with a faraway hiss. "No lights," Fairgrave said. "Sensitive eyes." Using a rope anchored around an old stone column, she slithered gracefully down the well. It was not long before her voice echoed up from the edge.
of a secret tunnel, saying it was my turn. It took me far longer to get down. By the time I reached her, I was soaked in sweat and something dank and slimy from the sides of the wall as well. Although annoyed about my torch, I was glad she couldn't see me. "Follow close," she advised. "Aye." She sniffled, but not too close. I struggled to keep pace, feeling foolish to think I ever considered coming without a guide. "There anything down there?" I whispered. She snorted. "Treasure? No." "Yes, but anything living. I'd encountered long spiders and Balraja on other excursions beneath the earth. I swear a Tommyknocker even once stalked me through a mine once." She dismissed my question in favor of her own. "Why do you need treasure?" I was sure how to answer gracefully. I desperately needed a score. The Maldorme silver cache had been a lie. The bejeweled goblet of iridium was taken by a serpent. Someone beat me to the Captain Crom's gold cache, and though fools will tell you it was a ghost of Crom himself, it was actually a crew of Balmeskin Granch smugglers. "Debts," I answered. "How about a wife?" "Not for many years." "Children?" "Nay, never." "Very good," she said.